Big transfer news today.
Who's moving?
Me. To the couch. With Domino's best deal ever since they just added stuffed crust.
Any pizza, any toppings, now with stuffed crust for $9.99.
It's a long-term contract with no release clause.
Only $9.99? Yeah, that sounds like the move. I'm heading straight to
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6/15 through 7/26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings, 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Cup is down to its final matches, and DraftKings has you covered for every single one. The DraftKings app is now available in all 50 states, so whether it's a shootout, a penalty kick, or just a regular time decision, it all happens at DraftKings. The markets are bringing the game straight to your fingertips. Wherever you are, it's DraftKings. Get the Cup going. And for new DraftKings customers, sign up with my code KSR. Spend $5 to get $200 in rewards within 21 days. That's the code KSR in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Bet with DK Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, bet tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 and over. Void in Canada. Event contract trading with DraftKings predictions involves risk of loss. Availability varies. Bet to get bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Trade to get $50 in predictions dollars that expire in 1 year. Issued every 7 days via click-to-claim for 21 days. One non-withdrawable reward redeemable. Predictions offer void in New York. Ends July 19th. Terms at dkng.co/audio.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Is there any issues we need to address?
Not from a client's point of view, I don't think so.
Definitely so, Your Honor. How long is this next deposition?
Just a moment, Your Honor.
Just as a reminder, at 11:25.
It's 20 to 25 minutes.
It's
again.
22 minutes and 49 seconds.
Okay. And who is this all for the plaintiffs, or is there a split on this
totality.
One?
That's totality.
I don't recall any defense questions in this one. I think it's all plaintiffs.
Okay. It was 22 and something?
22 minutes and 49 seconds.
Okay. And who is this?
Dr. Joseph Farno.
Are we ready to bring the jury in?
I believe so.
Yes, Your Honor.
Let's bring in the jury, and you're the new lighting director. Good luck. Sorry.
Please be seated, everyone.
Members of the jury, I want to confirm, while you're away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves. You did no investigation and received no information. Is that all correct?
Correct.
And has anyone approached you about this case since you were last with us? And have you seen any media coverage in the last 20 minutes? Okay. Plaintiff, let's call your next witness.
Dr. Joseph Perno, by deposition.
Okay. We're going to try to do the lights again.
Doctor, if you'll please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Morning, doctor. Please state your name for the record.
Joseph Perno, P-E-R-N-O.
And you are a medical doctor?
Correct.
And where do you work?
Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital.
And when did you start there?
2003.
Prior to the acquisition of All Children's Hospital by Johns Hopkins?
Correct.
And that occurred in?
2010 or 11.
All right. Is it true that you never actually sat on the risk management committee?
I don't recall attending in 2016 or 2017.
So you weren't there, at least as far as you can remember.
As far as I could remember. I was a named member of the committee as chief of staff, but as chief of staff as a volunteer position, I was still working a full clinical load and couldn't attend every meeting I was invited to.
So as chief of staff, how did you keep up with what was going on there?
Well, as chief of staff, you get invited to every single meeting in the hospital. You pick and choose the ones that are important for the role of the medical staff to attend. And I don't recall ever attending the risk management committee.
But since you were chief of staff, you had, I am assuming, because you're here, some control or management of the risk management committee?
No, I had no role other than to attend and listen what's going on.
Well, how was that information then communicated to you of what happened or what was going to happen?
Is anything the medical staff need to know about? I'm the liaison to the medical staff. They would communicate with me if there's something that was significant for the medical staff to know.
Well, I understand that, but how about agendas and decisions and topics and referrals up and that type of information? How were you kept abreast of that?
Again, I would only be notified if there was something pertinent that came out of a meeting that they needed addressed with the medical staff. If not, it would.
And how would they do that?
Probably in a one-on-one meeting. I don't recall anything coming up, but that would be the typical way. Either the VPMA or the president of the hospital would update me.
So let me get this straight. Did you ever see any agendas for the risk management meetings? Any of them?
Not that I recall. If I was on the committee, they were probably sent to me, but I don't recall ever seeing them.
Do you recall ever seeing any one of them, an agenda for a risk management meeting?
Not during that time.
Do you recall receiving any, did you receive any notes, memoranda, or any other documentation, electronic or in writing, of when what went on in a particular meeting?
Okay, I honestly do not recall.
During the time that this stay of Maya Kowalski was going on, October 7th through approximately the 14th of January, 2017, were you aware of what was going on with her?
I was, and I think we discussed at a previous deposition, I became aware when there was a question about bringing in an outside physician to the organization.
And was that the only decision that you were involved in, insofar as Maya's care?
Correct.
So insofar as being able to answer questions of what went on, what was reviewed, what decisions were made, what recommendations were made at a risk management meeting, you wouldn't know.
Correct.
All right. So tell me what you knew or understood about Maya Kowalski's care and the situation.
At the time, from what I recall, is they wanted to bring in her personal physician who did not have privileges. And the question was should and how we would give temporary emergency privileges on a case-by-case basis. And as chief of staff, I have a role in that decision-making in conjunction with typically the VPMA of the hospital.
All right. So there is a method to bring in doctors who don't have privileges on an emergency basis. Is that right?
Correct.
What are the criteria?
So they need to be able to, they need to be filling a gap that we do not have on the medical staff. So there needs to be a need for them. They need to meet the qualifications of our medical staff to treat the patient. They need to be, for emergency privileges, really they're self-limited to a particular case or time period. I don't have it all in front of me, but it's pretty spelled out by Joint Commission, but those are the main crux of it.
All right. I see two then. They need to fill a gap in an area of medicine that the hospital does not have an expertise in.
Correct.
And then the second one is they have to have qualifications of medical staff. Translate that for me.
Right. They need to be able to be credentialed on our medical staff, meaning they have to meet certain basic things that our medical staff bylaws state you must have.
Well, all right. And so is that in writing anywhere?
Yes.
And what is the name of that document?
That would be the medical staff bylaws.
All right. And so then we had Dr. Hannah. Do you recall Dr. Hannah as being the subject of your review?
Yes.
Let's just assume for the purposes of this question, through other testimony and circumstances, that the hospital was informed that Dr. Hannah could and would be examining Maya Kowalski. What effect would that have on the credentialing process?
I believe it would have no effect. We would still follow our process as a medical staff. It's our job to make sure that people are qualified to treat children. So we would follow the same process. Again, I think it's speculative. I don't recall that we did that, but.
But he could, and if I'm understanding you, visit the patient as a visitor and converse with her, so long as he doesn't physically examine her or treat her, right?
Yeah, he could visit her as a friend or a colleague, sure.
So if he was turned down at the front desk after applying, or excuse me, even though he didn't apply, but just coming in to see Maya, that would be wrong, would it not?
I don't have any control over security and their policies. We would follow our normal visitor policies at the time, so I can't speak to that.
Well, the patient's rights include to talk with another doctor or specialist at your own request and expense. It would appear then that the patient has a right to speak with another doctor at least. Is that true?
He would be visiting in a role of a friend, not as a physician, because he's not credentialed.
Okay. Well, so you're saying that to talk with another doctor or specialist at your own request and expense, it has to be on the phone?
In the hospital, you must be credentialed to act as a physician. So he could talk to his patient over the phone. He could get emergency privileges and treat her as a physician, But in the building, he needs to be a credentialed part of the medical staff to care for any patient.
Were you aware that there was litigation going on involving Maya Kowalski?
Not at that time.
That is a shelter hearing, shelter proceeding.
I probably knew that she was a shelter hearing, but I probably knew.
All right. Under those circumstances, then, did you nonetheless look at the doctor's background, training, and experience to determine whether he would have been approved?
He never applied or sent it in, so no.
You never did any independent research to determine whether or not?
I would have no need to do that. I've got a lot of duties, as I described earlier. I don't need to be doing extra work.
And as we've established, you can't say whether you were advised or not about that. True? Is that true?
Yeah.
But you have a rough idea of what risk management committee did?
Yes.
What did they do?
They look at trends and different things that pose a risk to the hospital. It's a quarterly meeting, so it's not a real time. It's usually retrospecting, looking back what's happened, infection rates, different risks that may be there. Again, and some of this I know just from reading up on it.
Okay. And when you say retrospectively, that means in the preceding quarter?
Yes.
And when you say quarter, are you talking about, for instance, the typical quarters of January, March, June, October?
Yeah, that's what I assume that's the frequency.
Is it true that the board, based on the recommendation of the MEC, can allow someone on board onto the hospital to make an examination on an emergency basis without submitting their application for privileges?
That is exactly what I was referring to when I talk about emergency privileges. There's a shortened process where we do the basic checks for quality and safety. And yes, it is a recommendation. All medical staff decisions are finalized by the board. But yes, that's the emergency privileging process you're describing.
Sorry, I got to make a note. Who was there to review what was happening to Maya Kowalski in real time?
So there's no need for a review in real time if the care is going well.
So the answer is no one.
Everyone. We're constantly monitoring our quality of care through multiple indicators, whether it's frontline staff, physician staff, resident staff. We're constantly looking at it. So if there's no red flags, there's no need to do a review of every single case.
What's a red flag?
If there's a concern with the care that we're giving.
Give me some examples.
If there's a concern for inappropriate medication use, prolonged stay in the hospital, discharging too soon, inappropriate floor, meaning need a higher level of care, something along those lines. Those are some generalities of things we're always keeping an eye on.
All right, let me ask you about some different things and ask you whether they would meet the threshold for the risk management committee, and we'll work through the other ones. A patient such as Maya Kowalski being kept by the hospital against her and her parents' will for 7 days, would that reach the threshold of something that would be reviewed by risk management?
And no, I mean, risk management committee meets quarterly, so that would not be appropriate.
So would it be reviewed retrospectively?
I do not know.
Would it be reviewed by the patient safety committee?
Probably not.
Would it be reviewed by the standards and credentialing committee?
Definitely not.
Can you think of any other committees that might review a patient being kept against their will at the hospital?
I don't believe we keep patients against their will, but it would probably be more of a team meeting with the care team and the family to discuss best process.
All right. The patient being prohibited from seeing her priest, would that meet the threshold for the risk management committee?
Again, the risk management committee doesn't function in real-time decisions. It's a quarterly meeting.
Well, then who at the hospital checks to make sure that the floor staff, the doctors actually involved, are doing the right thing?
So we have risk managers who are involved on a day-to-day basis that will interact with the staff as necessary. We have social workers for scenarios that you're kind of leading towards that would work together with the care team to make sure we're giving the highest quality care.
What if it's the social worker who's actually doing the things that are highly questionable, if not illegal?
We have physicians, we have risk managers would be involved, and I would like to say our social workers don't perform illegal activities.
Who makes the decisions or oversees decisions about compliance with court orders?
I would say that's probably our risk management department.
So in terms of, let's just say there are facts in the record that Maya Kowalski's priest was prohibited from seeing her in the hospital. You would agree that that violates Maya Kowalski's rights?
I wouldn't necessarily agree to that, and I don't know why the priest was denied, but I wouldn't agree to that.
Okay, so who was there then to review the actions of a nurse or a doctor or a social worker who came up with something like that out of their own head? Who was the next level to check to see whether that was appropriate standard of care?
It would be probably a team decision between the caregivers, the social work, the nursing staff, and again, likely risk management in this scenario.
And who's the superior to risk management?
I don't know. I would guess our legal counsel, but I don't know. I'm not in that.
And who does your legal counsel report to?
At that time, it was the president.
And other than the board of directors, was the president the highest authority at the hospital?
Yes, the president at the hospital, yes.
Let's ask about the child being stripped down to her underwear, short shorts, against her will, and photographs being taken of her without any court authorization, any authorization or notice to the parents, and against both the parents and the child's will. Would that be the type of thing that would meet the risk management threshold?
No, because I would consider that part of our standard care and treatment plan. We often will take pictures of patients to document for the medical record.
Make sure I get this right. Standard of care. So, Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, standard of care could include stripping a child down to her underwear and photographing her in a private room against the child's will, against the parents' will, and without notice to the parents, and without any court order or legal authority to do so. Am I correct in that?
I think the legal authority is the consent to treat. It's part of a treatment protocol. Many children object to things we do for them, right? If I'm suturing a child in the ER, they object. If they were put an IV in their arm, they object. So a child's objection, I think, is difficult. We work with them. But yeah, it's taking non-patient identifiable pictures to help with the medical record, whether it's bruising, whether it's rashes, whether it's injury. It helps enhance the medical record. So it's part of a standard treatment plan.
But in every one of those circumstances, the parents are notified and give their consent. True.
We have consent to treat. So once they give us consent to treat and examine, that's all part of a physical exam and treatment plan. So yeah, that consent had been already given.
Well, can the doctors put a child into a surveillance room for 48 hours under false pretenses of testing without parent consent?
Yeah, I think we choose rooms for our families all the time without consenting families. And if we feel it's part of the treatment plan, I don't see that as a separate call out either.
What possible benefit to the child is it to put them in a room where they cannot reach the commode for 48 hours, knowing the child cannot walk, and keeping her in that darkened room for that length of time?
Are you asking about this specific patient? I can't speak about this specific patient. And I'm not sure exactly what you're trying to get at.
When is Baltimore consulted in terms of standard of care?
Very rarely. And in 2016, probably never.
But the point is, Johns Hopkins in Baltimore was not monitoring the level of care that you were providing down here. True?
Correct.
And they were not influencing it anyway, correct?
Correct.
Are you aware from any source other than your attorney that Beata Kowalski committed suicide?
No.
So to this day, sitting here, you're not aware that Beata Kowalski killed herself and left suicide notes which blamed Johns Hopkins' level of care? Are you aware or not? Are you aware?
I have no knowledge from outside sources.
Okay. Did you ever speak with any of the physicians that were involved in Maya Kowalski's care while she was there or soon after?
Just in regards to what we discussed with the potentially bringing in an outside physician.
Okay. So in that limited conversation, then, I take it that you never learned that there were texts back and forth predicting Beata's suicide, right?
I have no knowledge of that.
And you would agree with me, though, that if a Johns Hopkins physician is aware that a patient or visiting parent is a suicide risk, that is something that risk management should consider.
Yes.
It's kind of an abrupt end, but that's the end.
Okay. Are we going to have another deposition? Or?
We do.
I'm sorry?
Yes, we do.
So I will leave the lights as is. And your next...
The next deposition is Dr. Anthony Napolitano.
Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry. If there's a question, go ahead and write it out. And Mr. Whitney, while the jurors writing out, are from a timing perspective, are we okay with the next deposition?
I think you said the breaking point is 11:30. Is that right?
11:25.
It will be fine.
Doctor, would you raise your hand for me, please?
Hold on a second.
Do you?
So, that's a question.
I apologize.
All right. Looks like there are a lot more of these. Are there other questions? I'm sorry.
Okay, members of the jury, one of your number had a couple of questions. Obviously, with a deposition, I don't have a live witness here that can answer that. But the, as you've seen, the attorneys are very aware of the questions that were raised, and I suspect they will address it in due course. And let's proceed with the playing. Hey, before I, is the lights okay? Do we need to dim it down some more? Okay, thank you.
Doctor, would you raise your hand for me, please? Do you swear a firm testimony you're about to give, the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth, so you go?
I do.
Okay. Please state your name for the record.
Anthony Napolitano.
Dr. Napolitano, do you understand that you are appearing pursuant to a directive by the court that the defendants produce someone with knowledge regarding the risk management committee operations and issues regarding the chain of command and control?
Yes.
And have you ever served on the risk management committee?
Yes.
What years?
2014 through 2019.
And what was your position, if any?
I served as chair of the Department of Pediatrics.
Who else in 2016 was on the committee with you?
It would be the chair of the Department of Surgery and members of the risk management team.
And say, you're real soft. Can you speak up a little bit on this?
Sure. It would be Dr. Colombani, the chair of pediatric surgery, and members of the risk management team.
And who is that at that time?
I don't remember all the names. It would be Jackie Crane. Would be the name I remember.
And she was the general counsel?
I believe she was.
Can you tell this jury, from the best of your memory, whether the risk management committee of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital ever took corrective action in any way about Maya Kowalski's considerations and situation?
Not that I am aware.
How does risk management manage risk in real time?
We go back to our divisions and our care areas and look to see how we can help.
So you do or do not discuss things happening in real time?
No.
No, you do not.
We do not discuss real time.
So if a physician or a group of younger physicians makes a mistake, to the best of your knowledge, there's no one at the hospital that is there to correct them in real time.
It's not in real time.
There's no one there that was reviewing what the hospital was doing in real time, correct?
In real time, no.
So, for instance, if you had a social worker who was acting inappropriately towards a child patient, there was no mechanism by which risk management would intervene and try to stop that behavior. True?
No.
Did you know anything about, doctor, did you know anything about what happened with Maya Kowalski?
I read about it. I read the article about 2 weeks ago.
But before that, as a member of the Risk Management Committee, you'd heard nothing?
I had heard nothing about the case.
And what other positions did you hold during 2016, 2017? What other committees and things were you on?
The Department of Medicine.
What was your position?
I was chair of the Department of Medicine, pediatric medicine.
And in that capacity, you didn't hear anything about Maya Kowalski?
No.
All right, what else were you on? What other committees and organizations were you on?
I would sit on a medical executive committee.
And as a member of the medical executive committee, you didn't hear anything about Maya Kowalski?
No.
To the best of your knowledge, did anyone from the quality department, such as a vice president of quality, report to the medical executive committee about Maya Kowalski?
No.
Do you have any idea why you, as the chief Department of Medicine chair, would not know about a child being kept at the hospital for this long, or 3 months, involving court orders and an eventual suicide of the mother?
The care is managed at the division level.
Managed at the what?
The care is managed at the division or the treating doctor level with their care. Doesn't come up to me. I would not hear day-to-day operations or care like this.
What remedies were available to the patient, most likely the patient's parents, if the doctors at the treating doctor level were misdiagnosing or otherwise negligent in their care of the patient?
Check the form.
They would ask to speak with the division chief and ask to sit down and speak with him or her to discuss the concerns they had.
All right. And with Maya Kowalski, they're under allegations of child abuse. Who would that fall under as a division chief?
That would... For the care or for the for the care of the patient?
Yes.
That would be the division chief of hospitalist medicine.
So I know you didn't learn of it till recently, but you do know Maya was there under a court order, correct?
My knowledge is really from what I know from reading the USA Today article that I read.
Okay. And who was responsible then for assuring Maya's care was aligned or complied with a court order?
That would be the physicians caring for Maya.
And if the physicians were not monitoring the nurses and errors were made in her care, how would that be corrected so the child was no longer injured, hurt, or troubled?
It would be the nursing manager of the floor that Maya was on.
As chair of pediatric medicine, do the hospitalists belong to your department, pediatric medicine?
They're one of several divisions, yes.
The ones that what?
Yes, they would. The hospitalists fall under the Department of Medicine.
All right. And so During 2016, who were some of the hospitalists that were under your authority, if you will?
At that point in time, and this is reading from the article with the, I think, Dr. Deese. It's one that I read, and...
Who was it? Sorry?
Dr. Deese.
Okay. Anyone else? Dr. Major?
She would be a hospitalist, yes.
Let's see, how about Dr. Young?
Dr. Young, yes.
Dr. Carroll?
Yes.
Dr. Davidson? Danielson, excuse me. I'm sorry, Danielson.
Dr. The first name on Danielson is who?
Kristen.
Would be a hospitalist, yes.
So she'd be under your care, or your...
Under hospitalist.
Okay, and throughout this period of time in the fall of 2016, did any of your hospitalists that we've mentioned here ever come to you with any concerns about the actions of any fellow doctors, nurses, or social workers?
No.
If they had come to you and said, the patient's complaining that she's being tortured every time she has to do this type of physical therapy, what would be the procedure? That's an example. What would be the procedure then once you received that report?
I would speak to the division chief to understand what was happening, ask for a report on what's happening.
Well, who is the division chief for that? What division are we talking about?
The hospitalist.
Well, who was the division chief in 2016 while all this was going down?
I don't remember. I have to go back. We have to go back and look.
To the best of your knowledge, has Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital done anything to change the way it operates since Beata Kowalski's death, Maya's stay there?
No.
In fact, most of the doctors, nurses, and staff like you don't even know what went down, do you?
From the article that I read is how I know about it.
But internally, coming from within the hospital, nobody ever brought to your attention what happened there. Is that right?
No.
Okay. And who was there to make sure that the patient's rights, as stated in the... on this particular document, the guide for patients and families, who was there to make sure that the patient's rights under that were being upheld, honored, if you will?
The local leadership, the managers of the unit, the nursing managers of the unit, and the physician, the division chief.
Well, you just testify now that you don't treat adults. Who there is qualified to diagnose a parent as having a mental illness?
We don't have adult providers at the hospital, so we really do not manage adult care.
I take it the answer to your question is, there isn't anyone there that is qualified to diagnose adult psychiatric issues.
Yes.
And that was true in 2016, correct?
Yes.
Looks to be the end.
That's it?
Then we announced the date. It's a bit hard to read on that deposition. No, it's still going.
It's still going.
Oh, it is.
All right. So... I'm going to ask you now about some allegations you haven't heard from your testimony other than popular media, and ask you whether these comply with hospital policy. Maya's priest was prevented from seeing her. Does that comply with hospital policy?
I'm not aware.
Okay, she was prevented from having a computer or any electronic devices. Is that part of the hospital's policy generally with children? Not being allowed to have any food, any baked goods from parents or even her little friends. Is that hospital policy?
If a patient was on a specific diet, potentially.
To strip her to her underwear, short shorts, and physically hold her down to photograph her. Is that part of hospital policy?
I'm unaware.
All right. What about listening in on calls with her lawyer? That hospital policy?
I'm unaware.
Do you report to anyone in Baltimore?
No.
Have you ever?
No.
Is it true that the hospital, All Children's, continue to operate with essentially the same staff and same procedures and same level of care after Johns Hopkins bought it, as before Johns Hopkins bought it?
Yes.
If there is a truly egregious event at the hospital, and I assume there has to have been some over your tenure, what is the most direct line to the president?
I'd go to the president of Johns Hopkins All Children's. Okay.
Do all department heads have access directly to the president?
At that point in time?
Yes.
2016?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So what divisions are part of your department?
At that time?
Sure.
So it would be the cardiology, hematology, oncology, critical care, hospitalist medicine, genetics, infectious disease, neurology, rheumatology.
Well, if you had, then you would have had control over all of the doctors we mentioned from one department or the other, would you not?
I'd have a good deal on the medical side.
All right. And then how often would you have a meeting in 2016 with the heads of the departments?
We try to meet monthly. Not everybody would attend, but we try to meet monthly.
And in terms of the discussions, do you recall any discussions, even in the general terms, about a child that was being held by court order in the hospital for a long period of time?
No, that would not come up in the division meeting.
How many times have you ever heard of a child being kept at your hospital for over 3 months against their will?
I'm not aware of that.
And so still, if that in fact is true, that that was the circumstance, Maya was being held for over 3 months against her will and her parents' will at the hospital. That was not a significant enough event for any of the department heads to bring up?
No.
I see. So it doesn't really matter if the child feels that they're a prisoner, the patients feel the child is a prisoner. You're going to stick to your, what did you call it, methods of care?
Yes.
I don't think I'm premature this time.
And this was from May 11th,
2023? Yes,
Your Honor.
Okay. Can I see the attorneys for a moment?
We're going to go ahead and take lunch now, and this is one of a meeting that was pre-planned that I had, so it's the fault's on me. I'm going to ask Deputy Coley if you could have them back ready to go at 1 p.m. We've got a full afternoon, so please be ready for a full afternoon. Do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do any investigation and receive no information, and we'll see you back at 1 p.m. Okay, thank you, everyone. Please be seated. So everyone knows we will be back to, at 12:15. Now, I do have another 12 or 13 minutes if you want to just start, or do you want to just take lunch
That's
now?
That's fine, Judge. Happy to do that.
Okay. Yeah, because I've had about 12 or 13 minutes.
And the time on that last deposition, Your Honor, was 19 minutes and 34 seconds.
That was just the one. What about Dr. Perno? I don't think.
I'm sorry?
Did they give the time on Dr. Perno? I didn't think so.
It was 22 and like 40-something seconds.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And the one before that was 23 and 21 seconds.
Sorry.
So I've got my list. I'll just start and then we'll pick it back up at 12:15.
We do have one motion we'd like to have heard before the afternoon witness, Your Honor.
You want to go ahead and do that one right now?
Not me, Judge. Maybe longer than 10 minutes.
If it's going to be longer than 10 minutes, we probably.
Okay.
What's the motion?
It's a motion to limit or exclude Dr. Corcoran's testimony.
Oh, we haven't seen that.
Got filed 2 days ago.
Well, perhaps they can look at it over lunch and then be ready to talk about it. So I guess it's back to you, Mr. Whitney, about exhibits.
Thank you. I'm going to start on the back page of the exhibit list we provided. And again, this is under the risk management file, which is exhibit 2277. And I'd like to focus on pages 630 to 631. You can pull up 2277. Your Honor, the email on the bottom half of the page was previously admitted with redactions.
Oh, yeah.
But we could redact the entirety of that from this email if necessary. But we would like to admit the top email from New Year's Eve with redactions, of course.
So when you say the top one, are you talking about the one at 219, talking about a transfer?
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry. Those two. That starting with that one, which is two lines, and then up to the top, that exchange.
And what was the status of the court order? It said, if I remember correctly, at this time it allowed Johns Hopkins to supervise the call specifically.
That's correct.
Well, within its.
Judges, this included all authority in the DCF.
Well,
it includes counsel, referring to counsel. It's going to get further entrenched into the DCF hearings.
Your Honor, the relevance of this email is that Johns Hopkins has repeatedly taken the position that they were doing everything they could to transfer this child out of there. And that's the nature of the two lines at 2:19 p.m. It has nothing to do with, it's a medical transfer, it has nothing to do with a court order. And the top email, the first line of that email reveals the type of attitude that was being expressed to other facilities about this potential transfer. So it's relevant and necessary for us to push back on the idea that they were doing what they could accept transfer.
Anything else, Ms. Cross?
I just disagree with their aspersions and characterization of the email. They're trying to interpret, and presuming they're going to try to interpret for the court, what it means is not yet once they get wind of issues with the family. I mean, that's having to do with the dependency court.
Hey, this is what we're going to do now. The bottom email, the one at 6:12 p.m., either you need to redact it in its entirety or redact it consistent with how we previously redacted the predecessor email.
Understood.
The one at 2:19 that starts with thanks for the update, that entirety, those two sentences or those three sentences will be unredacted. Those will come in.
I'm sorry, I'm not following. Oh, there. Okay.
And up at the top, the first line, which is three sentences, that will remain in.
And the remainder redacted?
Well, the answer is almost yes, but this concept about Maya's recent scratches self-inflicted, that isn't dependency related.
Right.
I think the sentence, plus we are exercising our right to listen in on the calls the best we can due to Maya's recent scratches self-inflicted, can stay in, because we're going to have an instruction that tells them as of this date that there was authority for Johns Hopkins to supervise the calls.
May I read that sentence to you, Judge? Mother shall have an... I'm sorry, I didn't... May I...
It's just a sentence.
Number two of the order.
No, it's the sentence, plus we are exercising our right to listen in on the calls the best we can due to Maya's recent scratches self-inflicted. That sentence would remain in.
Okay.
Who's taking notes as to?
I've got the notes. I have the email here, and I have the notes on the redactions, and I will make it happen over lunch.
Okay. anything else about this email.
I'm not sure. Did you redact the rest? I wasn't sure.
The only thing that's coming in on that very top email, the 739 email.
Can we have it large again, please?
And Mr. Reyes, thank you. Is the very first line, which comprises three sentences, the one that starts "not yet" once. That whole line stays in. And then the only other sentence that will remain in is the sentence that says, "Plus, we are exercising our right to listen in on the calls the best we can due to Maya's recent scratches, self-inflicted." Everything else will be redacted.
Your Honor, this is a bit nitpicky, but the two signatures that just say "sent from my iPhone," can we keep those?
Can you scroll it down so I can see what it says?
Just says at the bottom of the screen here, "sent from my iPhone."
That's fine. That's not dependency court related.
Okay. Thank you.
And then, of course, the next email in that chain, the 219 email, will stay in. And then the email below that,
we will redact consistent with the previous ruling.
Exactly. And so when you tender the redacted version, this will be called 2277-630A and 631A. And so the court will receive the A version as redacted.
Judge, I just like to reiterate our objection. This is, we're going deeper and deeper down the DCF and dependency rabbit hole.
I don't think so, Mr.
Particularly
Hunter.
In light of the last two depositions and the court's rulings on our objection. So I feel constrained to put that on the record, Judge. We're parsing a course that can't be parsed. And I just have to object here.
And I appreciate it. And let me just give you my rationale, and then I've got to run. There are obviously causes of action that I have not allowed in because of Chapter 39 immunity. I don't have that order in front of me. I don't have the buzzwords in front of me. But it was, anything that was as a consequence of the call, and the actual dependency hearing is, obviously a consequence of the call. And I think I've been very clear about that. But there are other counts, including the medical malpractice, because Maya was a patient at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital concurrent to the time of the dependency court action. And there's also other counts, including the outrage count, negligent infliction of emotional distress, plus others. And so there is evidence that could be down the dependency court, but also is relevant to the other causes of action. And what I have been attempting to do is, wherever I can, to excise out anything that is purely dependency court. But if it's something that goes to a medical malpractice or one of the other counts in this case, even if it's specifically or somehow references the dependency action, I'm leaving it in because the jury already knows about the existence of the dependency action. They're going to be instructed, and we've already somewhat instructed them, that the hospital is not responsible for Maya Kowalski being there and could not discharge her against a court order. So I don't believe that the evidence that has been coming in is improper given the causes of action that are actually pled that are outside of the Chapter 39 immunity. And with that, Mr. Altenburn, you get 15 seconds. And then
that's all I need. I just got to say, I need to review. We've been doing the objections in your rulings on the depositions in this kind of the wholesale fashion, so I don't get to see all of this. But there was a massive amount of information in Dr. Politano's deposition about being held prisoner and this and that and the other thing. And keeping in mind that count 14 is only a negligent training count, there was things way beyond that. And then we're talking about things that appear to be going to punitive damages that are after the fact conduct. None of that is admissible for punitive damages. So there's just a pile of things that got in that deposition that, Your Honor, I respectfully think are error.
Well, I appreciate that. I, assuming that those questions were designated as objectionable.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's what I wanted to say.
Some of them were, but then there were some of them in there that didn't, that sounded to me like I don't remember reading any of that. So I think some of what you're talking about wasn't actually designated. But I mean, I've been trying to rule the way I just articulated it just a moment ago. I mean, that's what I did last night with Dr. Is it Neuberger? I mean, I sustained a whole bunch, but I let in some stuff. I cut pieces and, you know, look, I'm doing everything I can to be fair to both sides with the causes of action that are allowed, those that are not allowed, and that's the way I'm going to continue to roll on it.
Certainly before Dr. Corcoran's testimony, I filed a motion, I think, on Sunday trying to limit some things as to relevance because of these things, and we haven't really been able to hear that.
Well, I think that's what Mr. Hunter said, and I said that we were going to need to do it, and I really need to.
Yes, I know.
Yes.
To go. Judge Moreland is on time all the time. Bye now.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Big transfer news today.
Who's moving?
Me.
to the couch with Domino's best deal ever since they just added stuffed crust.
Any pizza, any toppings, now with stuffed crust for $9.99.
It's a long-term contract with no release clause.
Only $9.99? Yeah, that sounds like the move. I'm heading straight to
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6/15 through 7/26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings, 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.